a yard and a half by 3 yards long.
To put each second day, not each day, but each second day. But food, very little.
Maybe this much cereal every second day was what they gave me.
300 grams жидкого супа.
300 grams of thin soup. That's the pint in a little.
Да, но два раза в день.
They give this twice a day.
Кусочек вот, ну вот такой кусочек сырого.
And a little piece of herring this size.
400 грамм хлеба.
400 grams of bread, that's like a pound.
Хлеб давали каждый день.
Every day they get bread.
А остальную пищу через день.
And the rest of the food was only every other day.
И если ты пытаешься оставить часть пищи на следующий день, то это отбирают.
And if you tried to save part of the food for the next day, they would take it away.
Одежды не было, только нижнее белье ветхое и не шерстяное, обычные рубашки, плотчатые бумажки.
No special clothes, just underwear and a cotton shirt. It's against the cold.
Да, но разрешались носки.
But they allowed socks.
Ни шапки, ни сапог, ни другой одежды не разрешалось.
No hats, no boots, no other clothes were permitted.
Внутри моей камеры, там все камеры были такие, не было воды. И полотенец, мыло запрещено. Полотенце и мыло запрещено.
Inside my cell, like all the other cells, there wasn't any water, and towels and soap were forbidden.
Ну, уж говорить, так на обо всем говорить. Была параша внутри камеры.
Параша, это уже слово.
Yeah, they called it. There was a parasha, that's a bucket.
Это выносная, так сказать, это такой вот сосуд, выносная уборная.
Yeah, this is a pail to use as a toilet that can be carried out.
Очень тяжелое.
Very heavy.
Вот такие нары примерно.
And bunks to lie on, maybe this size.
Они пристегивались к стенке.
They were attached to the wall.
На ночь нары опускаются.
And they would let them down at night.
Но они не совсем деревянные, тут железный пол.
But are not all made of wood. There's metal parts around them.
Было холодновато, и я спать ночами не мог на этих нарах.
And it was pretty cold. I mean, at the beginning, I couldn't sleep on this kind of bunk.
Но я обычно боролся с холодом так. Ночью почему-то особенно холодно было.
And so this is how I would fight against the cold. For some reason, it was especially cold at night.
Я растирал минут 10 руками, растирал доски между железными полосами, и потом ложился на них.
He would rub the boards with his hand, maybe for 10 minutes. Warm them up and then you lie down.
Полежавши 10 минут, я начинал цикл сначала. Такая периодическая функция.
After I did lie down for 10 minutes, I would start again. So it was like a periodic function.
Но иногда удавалось спрятать бумагу, газету, например, от охранников. И тогда я немножко засовывал за рубашку газету.
Sometimes it was possible to hide a piece of paper or a newspaper or something from the guards, and then I would use it to keep myself warm.
Вообще на каждый снаряд существует броня.
Yeah, so against every weapon there's some kind of armor.
И существует десятки уловок, которые приходилось использовать для того, чтобы как-то существовать.
And there were dozens of tricks that we had to use to somehow stay alive.
Ну и кроме того, надо всегда, там всегда помогает стрессовое состояние.
And a state of stress always helps as well.
Потому что кажется, когда уже выйдешь оттуда, кажется, что там надо было обязательно заболеть.
Because after you get out of something like that, you figure you would have to have gotten sick.
Но если активно борешься за свою жизнь, то ничего, можно выдержать.
But if you're actively fighting for your life, it's okay, you can somehow come through.
В обычном режиме, мне, когда я был в обычном режиме, мне очень помогало от трудностей то, что я мог уходить в науку.
When I was in the normal regime in the camp, something that helped me very much was I was always able to get away and think about science.
Это другая жизнь, ну, внутренняя, конечно, и это очень помогало.
This was another life, an internal life, of course. This helped very much.
Кроме того, очень помогает в играх товарищества.
And your comrades, of course, also help you very much in camp.
Ну, даже вот, например, когда сидишь в этом изоляторе, где через день кормят, то иногда те заключенные, которые работают на кухне, что-нибудь тебе чуть-чуть погорячей дадут или, может быть, что-то лишнее там подсунут.
Even when you're sitting in the isolation cell and only being fed every second day, your friends who are working in the prison kitchen are sometimes able to slip you a little extra something.
Ну потому что там не положен ни сахар, ни жир, ни без там пищи дается через день без сахара, без жиров, без масла, ну в общем без всяких, только вода и ну допустим каша.
There you're supposed to get food with just say water and cereal and potatoes, not supposed to give you any sugar, any butter, any fat.
Так что помощь такая иногда действительно приходила очень вовремя.
So when they would help out by putting in something like that, it really was welcome.
Но за это очень строго наказывали тех, кто пытался помочь.
People who tried to help like that were very severely punished.
Но можно сказать, что если все время был бы я в общем режиме, то можно его было бы выдержать долго.
If you were in the normal regime, you'd be able to survive for quite a long time.
Главная, может быть, трудность это состоит в другом.
The main difficulty, the biggest difficulty is something else.
КГБ ставит своей главной целью сломать духовно человека в лагере.
The KGB's main purpose is to break the will of people in the camps.
Ну, например, если какой-то человек, заключенный, соглашается работать на них прямо, то он может не выполнять норму. Он бы мог, это и такие случаи были, он может выполнять норму на 20%, но он прекрасно получает питание и его не накажут.
If some prisoner agrees to work for the KGB, then they don't make him fulfill the norm. He can only do 20% of the work and it's still okay.
Я в молодости работал как раз на токарном станке, и мне это помогло в лагере.
When I was young, I did, in fact, work on this kind of metal lathe, and that helped me very much when I was in the camp.
Так что в результате я с помощью экономии движений, искусства и искусства работы я добился того, что я норму выполнял.
And by economizing my movements, and thanks to my experience, I was able to fulfill the norm.
Но это мне не помогало.
But that didn't help me.
Как я потом обнаружил, они в своих отчетах писали, что я норму не выполняю, и на этом основании наказывали.
As I found out later, they would write down in their records that I was not fulfilling the norm and punish me on the basis of that. Thank you.
Any question for Ms. Mary Jo Dudley, please? Yes.
This is a question about Sir Salvador. Do you think that the regime there right now affects the regime itself? Because the Barbshire regime, сейчас в Сальвадоре, похоже на тот режим при Сталине, в Союзе, в начале 1920-х годов.
Это ко мне или к Мари?
Do you think the regime in San Salvador now is similar to the regime in the Soviet Union at the end of the 1920s?
I can't really respond to that because I'm not well enough informed.
Я думаю, что мы можем обсудить. Мы можем обсудить потом это вопрос, потому что я думаю, Мария не знает, что было на 30-х годах. Не в 20-х, в 30-х. А я не знаю, потому что я не
And if the two of us will be able to talk about this later, because Mary Jo doesn't know what was in the Soviet Union in the 30s, and I don't know what the hell we're doing now.
Any other questions?
Based on the movie.
Yes, please.
So, Dr. Blum, the recent release of 150 prisoners in the Soviet Union, does this represent a new feeling of openness or leniency by the Soviet government? Was this, which would mean like they would be less likely to prosecute on charges of anti-Soviet agitation and propaganda, or is this simply a reaction to pressure by groups like Amnesty International against the treatment of prisoners in the Soviet Union?
Во-первых, мы не знаем, действительно ли освободили этих 150 человек. Мы знаем по нашей информации только о 70.
In the first place, we don't know for sure that they released 150 people. Our information has only confirmed 70.
Но может быть это правильно, потому что по нашим спискам мы считали, что 800 заключенных по спискам и раза в два или в три больше.
But maybe that is right because we knew about 800 or so political prisoners on our list, and maybe twice or three times that much we didn't know.
Теперь они освободили 70 из наших списков и остальных как тех из тех, которых мы как раз не знали. Может быть так.
Now they've released 70 other people that we knew about, and maybe twice or three times that many that we didn't know about. So maybe that is true.
Может быть это дело так обстоит.
Maybe it is true, but I don't know.
Если говорить о том, что является ли это чем-то новым, ну, конечно, последнее освобождение было 30 лет назад.
If you're wondering whether this is really something new, then certainly it is, because the last liberations were 30 years ago.
Тогда, после Сталина, Хрущев освободил, многие Хрущев сам, были освобождены около 2 миллионов человек.
At that time, after the death of Stalin, Khrushchev liberated, of course not Khrushchev alone, but they were released about 2 million people.
Теперь мы требуем, чтобы освободили тех или всех людей, по крайней мере, которых мы знаем по списку.
And now we're calling for them to release at least those people whose names we know, the names we have on our list.
Почему хотя бы частичное освобождение, но происходит?
Now, why would there be releases now, but even partial releases?
И не только освобождение, но и некоторое уменьшение цензуры печати.
And not only releases, but some reductions in censorship of the press.
На это есть две или три причины. Первое – это что руководство советское осознало, наконец осознало, что Советский Союз отстает в технологии.
There are two or three reasons for this. The first one is that the Soviet leadership finally realized that they're way behind in technology.
Мы, диссиденты, об этом говорим уже десятки лет, но нас прямо за это и сажали.
We dissidents have been talking about this for over 10 years, but precisely for this, they would put us in jail.
У меня это и есть приговоры, клевета об отставании советской науки.
I was charged with this, I was charged with slandering the Soviet Union about Soviet science.
И, как видно, наконец появилось понимание того, почему происходит это отставание.
It looks like finally they have some understanding of where this backwardness comes from.
Я думаю, что одним из последствий, которое останется на в дальнейшем, будет то, что будут увеличены или будут не то, чтобы увеличены, их не было фактически, но появятся академические свободы. Какие?
I think one of the lasting consequences will be an improvement in academic freedom or the appearance of academic freedom.
Может быть, хотя я в это плохо верю, есть еще понимание еще одного фактора.
Maybe, although I don't really believe this, there's one more factor too.
В Соединенных Штатах примерно в 1000 раз больше персональных компьютеров, чем в Советском Союзе.
In the US there's about 1,000 times as many personal computers as there are in the Soviet Union.
У вас их 12 миллионов, а там примерно столько же, но тысяч.
You have, say, 12 million, and they have maybe 12,000.
И причем еще у вас темпы наращиваются, а там этих темпов нет.
And here it's accelerating, and there is not no acceleration.
Но что такое персональные компьютеры современные? Вы можете заложить туда огромное количество информации, вы можете общаться со всеми владельцами компьютеров, и, то есть передавать эту информацию. А ведь хранение и передача свободной информации – это то, за что нас, диссидентов, сажали.
Okay, what is a personal computer? You can put a tremendous quantity of information into it, and you can communicate with other owners of personal computers. You can send this information back and forth, and maintaining and transmitting information was just what they put us in prison for.
Поэтому дилемма такая: или согласиться на то, чтобы советское общество стало современным технологическим обществом, или продолжать бороться против распространения свободных взглядов и свободной информации.
Okay, so they have this dilemma: either permit the Soviet Union to become a contemporary technological society, or continue to repress the free exchange of information.
Ну, затем Советский Союз очень нуждается в западной технологии, и поэтому сейчас очень чувствительно к западному давлению.
Another thing is that the Soviet Union is in great need of Western technology, and therefore right now it's very sensitive to Western pressure.
Ну и может быть еще одна причина внешнеполитическая. Эпоха Брежнева была эпоха завоеваний.
And maybe there's one more factor. The Brezhnev era was an era of conquest, of extending Soviet power.
И последним подвигом Брежнева было как раз начало войны в Афганистане.
And Brezhnev's last big achievement was the beginning of the war in Afghanistan.
А сейчас задача другая. Это переварить и проглотить то, что было освоено.
And now they have a different problem. It's to swallow and digest all they grab.
А поэтому нужен другой характер отношений с западными и, кстати, и с восточными странами.
So now they need a different kind of relationships with the Western countries and also, by the way, with the Eastern countries.
Все это создает специфическую новую ситуацию для Советского Союза.
So all this means a special and new situation in the Soviet Union.
Но я не думаю, что реформы пойдут очень далеко. Какое-то продвижение будет, потом будет движение назад, но полного возврата прежним позициям не будет, и что-то останется. Вот такое мое предсказание.
I don't think the reforms will go very far. They'll go some distance, and then there'll be a partial return to the way things were, but it won't go all the way back, and so there will be some progress in the end.
Okay. Any question about human rights violations in El Salvador, please? Yes, please. Yes.
Mayor Joe, I'm amazed that the government lets you go into the prisons and interview these prisoners.
The question was, why did the government of El Salvador allow us into the prisons? In part, they couldn't deny us entrance because we had the names of specific prisoners whom we wanted to see. That was a real crucial part to getting into the prisons. We had to say, we understand that Joaquin Casares and Brigido Sanchez are imprisoned in Mariona and we need to speak with them. They delayed our getting into prison for a couple of days. The Minister of Justice gave us a semi-vague letter to take to the prison, and when we got to the prison, they also took us to a very nice, elegant waiting room with very nice sofas and tea and paintings on the wall, and said, okay, we will bring one prisoner out to you. And we were quite firm that we wanted to go inside the prison and go inside the cells. And I think it was just sort of this actually having a little bit of gall to say, we are going inside the prison, that they were caught off guard. They didn't expect us to be so forceful. And that's how we got in. Inside the prison, it's important to say, it's quite different from what Dr. Orlov was talking about from my sense of it is that the political prisoners are very organized inside the prison. They make up almost half of the prisoners. And they have periodically held strikes in the prison and have been able to gain certain privileges like open cell privileges. The cells are open from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. Which means that the prisoners can walk around. In part, that's a question of practicality, because if you have 12 to 16 people in that amount of space, there's not much they can do, and there was a problem with illness, but it's still seen as an important advance for the political prisoners. Some of the other things that seem similar or different, I don't know, is that the prisoners inside the prison in El Salvador work a certain number of hours, but their work is around task of maintenance of the prison. They clean their own cells, they cook, they take turns in cooking food. They're responsible for making things that they would need for things that they do in the prison. And with some of their time, they carry out other tasks which are quite different, which is the political prisoners teach some of the common, what are referred to as the common prisoners, how to read and write. They give classes. They maintain their own clinic. There are several medical students who were arrested at the university when the university was occupied in 1982 by the army. And they maintained a clinic, and the day before we went into the prison, they had operated on another prisoner who had been brought in who had a bullet embedded. The medical students inside the prison carried out that operation. And in fact, while we were in this one cell, they converted into their clinic, and they have, you know, a shelf of really different things, like some aspirin, some ampicillin, some alcohol, but not very much in terms of medicines. While we were there, however, one of the guards who works at the prison came in to get treatment inside the political prisoners' clinic. So I think it's a very different situation from that. There's a lot of cooperation among the prisoners. They maintain a news service. In fact, when I was there and I had it with me, they published inside the prison the first leaflet. And I don't know how they got the pay. I don't know how they got the things into the prison, but they were able to do that. So I think it's a little bit, the conditions are different. Some of the problems are food, a lack of food. They receive, if you could compare it to what Dr. Arlo said, they receive two meals a day, one scoop of beans and one scoop of rice for one meal, and the second meal they get a scoop of pasta, macaroni type food.
Any question for Dr. Arlo, please? Yes, sir.
Hi. The war in Afghanistan, you mentioned. Is there anything that you could recommend to people in this country, to Americans, to help make it possible for the Soviet Union to retreat out of Afghanistan?
Мне кажется, что ну, прежде всего надо как можно надо как, стараться получать информацию и распространять ее среди хотя бы на Западе об Афганистане, так чтобы люди интересовались. Я не вижу интереса к этой проблеме на Западе.
Okay, the first thing to do is try and collect information and spread it, at least spread it among people here. And the rest of the people would be interested. I don't see much interest in the West in the war in Afghanistan.
Я помню, я правда был тогда в Советском Союзе, но если судить по советской печати, был огромный интерес к войне, ну огромные переживания в связи с войной во Вьетнаме.
I was in the Soviet Union at that time, I read by the Soviet press. There was tremendous interest in the Vietnam War.
И я вполне понимаю эти переживания, но я просто поражен что, тем слабым интересом, который проявляется к войне в Афганистане.
I can easily understand why people would take an interest in the Vietnam War and take that hard, but I can't understand why there's so little interest in the Afghanistan War now.
Советский Союз прежде всего очень мало критикуется за эту войну на Западе.
The Soviet Union is criticized very little for that war in the West.
Поэтому я бы какие политические, экономические, военные меры я бы не стал обсуждать. Это вопрос очень специальный, но хотя бы общественность выступала также. или больше против войны в Афганистане, как она выступала во время войны во Вьетнаме.
If you're talking about political or economic measures, I really don't know what to say about that. But the people and public opinion should take an interest the way they did they took an interest in the war in Vietnam.
Существует очень глубокое заблуждение, что, скажем, война в Афганистане для Советского Союза это то же самое, что война в Вьетнаме для Соединенных Штатов.
It's a very deep delusion to say that the war in Afghanistan is the same thing for the Soviet Union as the Vietnam War was for the United States.
Никакого общественного мнения советское правительство может не учитывать своего внутреннего общественного мнения, когда оно ведет войну в Афганистане.
Because the Soviet government doesn't have to pay any attention to Soviet public opinion when it starts a war in Afghanistan.
Просто потому, что далеко не каждому хочется сесть в лагерь.
That's simply because far from everybody wants to end up in the labor camp.
У вас во время войны во Вьетнаме была моральная другая атмосфера, вы имели больше возможностей.
There was a different moral atmosphere here during the Vietnam War. You had possibilities.
Учитывая это, я хочу сказать, я все время это часто говорю, одного только внутреннего движения в Советском Союзе недостаточно. Оно слишком, оно имеет перед собой слишком сильного противника. Ему надо обязательно помогать снаружи.
So when you take all this into account, just an internal movement within the Soviet Union would not be sufficient. There are too many difficulties involved. They need strong assistance from outside.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Dudley, please? Yes, sir.
In countries like such as El Salvador and other countries where there's governments a little bit, in a government such as the United States, it would be easier to put pressure on them to take some kind of action to get released a prisoner of conscience or whatever. In a country a little more underdeveloped or more difficult to put direct pressure on, what methods besides like the letter writing that Amnesty International does and other tactics, how else can you put pressure on those kind of governments to have those prisoners released? And what pressure is on them to admit to anything or to prove themselves to anyone?
Well, there are several channels. One is that the U.S. government, in giving aid to El Salvador, sometimes conditions that with judicial reforms. In the last aid package, which went, there's one thing I didn't say, which is really important to say, which the problem, some of the conditions inside the prison seem better perhaps than in some other places, but the big problem is that people are never formally charged, never formally tried, never given a sentence, never released. And that is one of the major problems, that they never know if they're ever going to leave the prison. One of the things that has happened is the Congress has been concerned about this and put conditions on the aid in terms of judicial reforms, which included conditions of arrest. According to this, the Salvadorian security forces were only allowed to arrest people in uniform. The family is supposed to be promptly notified within 24 hours. The physical and intimidation and abuse is completely prohibited. In other words, that torture is not supposed to take place. And a prisoner is not supposed to be forced to sign a confession, and is also supposed to be able to read it before they sign it. These reforms are on paper, they're on the books, they supposedly take place, but in practice none of these reforms have been implemented. And at this point, even though congressional reports have come out documenting this, no one is willing to challenge this policy in El Salvador. In the prisons, I couldn't tell if this was different from what Dr. Orlov was talking about, treatment in the camp. Prisoners are periodically tortured while in prison. They're taken out of the prison for a period of days and tortured. And the U.S. has the political power to change this, but at least at this point, not the political will. In terms of other kinds of pressure campaigns, I know for the case of Joaquin Cáceres, there were thousands and thousands of letters that were sent through Amnesty International and through similar groups and through specific campaigns for Salvadorian cases. And it seems that the role of letter writing is important, but it has to be massive. In the case of Brígido Sánchez, who is a 63-year-old man who is in the peace march, when he was first taken and beaten, he was taken to what he considered an underground prison. The press who were present when he was taken and the international press who were notified by the members of the peace march called for his immediate release. And he got so much press coverage that the police took him out of the place where he was being tortured. And in fact, in his testimony, he said that the police said to him, "Why do all these people around the world care about a shit like you?" And it seemed clear that in his case, he hasn't been released from prison. He's still in Mariona, but he was not left in a clandestine prison, and he was not killed because of the kind of pressure which was carried out by the international media. I think the media plays a key role in formulating public opinion, and in that way can also urge people to take actions. In some cases, the U.S. Embassy in El Salvador has been pressured to call for specific actions. Those are in very, very rare cases in the case of El Salvador.
Thank you very much. We have to conclude this event right now, and I would ask people who go out at the rear entrance, we have two petitions on behalf of a Lithuanian prisoner.